Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast, and this week we're discussing the biggest Xbox leak in history. We're looking ahead to the Switch 2's potential launch lineup. We're asking why there are so many industry layoffs, or at least that's what I would be saying. If you're listening to the Eurogamer Newscast, hello, I'm Tom, Eurogamer's editor and host of our weekly discussion podcast, where we break down the biggest gaming news stories and share insight from our news reporting team. Head to your favorite podcast app now to listen. Just search Eurogamer Newscast.
Extended rest for the month of February is brought to you today by DungeonFog.com. Dungeon Fog is your all-in-one premium service for map-making, notes-taking, and even soundscapes for your sessions. If you want to focus on playing your game more and prep time less, please visit DungeonFog.com today and check out all the features that they're working on. There you can quickly create beautiful maps and even share them with the community and download other people's projects and edit them on the fly. Go check out DungeonFog.com today and see what all the fuss is about. Howdy, everybody out there in Twitch chat. That's a great way for us to start off. If you're not here live, we do a little like a pregame roundup type thing where we try to let the chat filter in and get caught up. Welcome to Extended Rest for February. I'm Jason. I'm usually the Dungeon Master, but Raisiners. That's
Raisiners. I'm glad all the Raisiners can join
the
us.
The Raisiners.
Your tongue's usually not as swollen as this.
I'm usually better at my job than this. Making up the panel this month is Susan.
Hi, I'm Susan, what he just said. And I play Maddie on Group A.
And Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen, and I play Callie on Group B.
And James.
It's James, and I play Masoka on Group A.
And Mac!
Hi, I'm Mac, and I played Kalina Vulgaris on Group C. And I'm glad everyone else went before me, because I think this is my second time doing extended rest.
I think so, yeah.
Which is kind of hilarious.
Well, that ED, one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, because we had a bunch of people email, or actually we didn't get too many emails, but there have been people in Discord and the Facebook group chat and stuff asking, and I just didn't feel like telling every individual person.
Let me address every single one of you one at a time.
Right. And it's one of those things that it's like, it's really not a big deal. It's not like there's a bunch of drama behind this departure, but it is one of those things we are going to talk about. And we're going to get right in to a Group C episode, Arc 2, Episode 25, entitled Glade, which aired on February 4th, 2018. Group C does a bunch of stuff in this episode. They're gonna be dealing with some fallout from the whole cheating scandal thing. I want to talk about that right off the bat. They deal with some unsavory individuals in a tavern, and then they have a lengthy fight in the arena. Starting things off though with the speaking to the representative there at the Oasis and everything, I guess this would be addressed to Mac mostly, but
hey, you know that part that I talked a lot? That part, yeah.
How did you, was there an expectation going into that? Like, did you think that would go better or worse? Or
I mean, it went about as I expected it would. Because, mm-hmm. like, I figured worst case scenario, I have forgotten everyone's names. It has been, 2 months. hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
Clara. That's the name.
That's the name.
Oh, my God. Listen, it's been 2 months. I'm sick. Let me live.
Here's what happened. Mac was leaving the show and said, fuck this, and just
Yeah, I just flipped the double birds and then I backflipped away.
But yeah, did you see that? How did you see it going? Did you, I guess you just didn't really have much of an expectation for it?
Yeah, because like I figured Clara would just, like, worst case scenario, would be thrown in, like, jail for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, just a little bit, not even that long. Just sort of like, hey, we have an image to maintain. Go to jail.
Right.
Go to jail. But yeah, like, overall, I was like, eh. And, like, if it had gone, like, I'm glad nobody was like, hey, she didn't do anything wrong. I don't think anyone would have, but I'm glad that there was, like, none of that. No one tried to lie, because Kalina would have been like, what are you doing? Listen, I know we're friends, but that was cheating.
Well, you did. Okay, here's the thing. The one thing that you did as Kaluna was, it's like, well, it could have been worse. I could have stabbed someone or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That, okay. I do remember one thing about that session, and that was I think I woke up like an hour before and I hadn't eaten anything that day. So I was a little bit out of it. So I was like, this is a good thing to say. This makes sense.
What about the rest of you guys? Did you guys have any expectations for that? Did you think there'd be a big fallout for it? Yes.
I was kind of expecting like a Vegas shakedown, you know, like an winner winner chicken dinner. What is
21.
That? Where they 21? You know, where they take them into a back room and just like, beat the shit out of
and
them.
And Morpheus
like,
beats the shit out of
my
you.
Strip.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, okay. I think playing Maldron, which is the older gentleman who runs the casino, I think that would have went worse if not for Clara stepping up and just taking all the responsibility. Just like, okay, this is kind of a big misunderstanding. Here's what happened. You know, very sorry. And then there was no fighting to keep the money. There was no, you know what I mean? There wasn't much of a fight on the group's part.
Yeah. I thought Bree played that real well too. Like, played the nervous, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
And that was obviously a thing going into that, that you guys know, being role players and having something go wrong for your character, or something is put on your character, or NPCs assume something about your character, and it's a misrepresentation of what your character is supposed to be. So you get upset. I've had it happen to NPCs too, where for the longest time, I think it was just presupposed. It's like, oh yeah, Julie's a bitch. And I always kind of wonder, it's like, what am I putting out there when I'm playing?
It's just that she's opposing another character, you know?
Right.
Well, Dagon got that a lot, but I mean, he was a dick half the time, but
really I didn't see too much of the Dagon's a dick.
Oh no. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like the Poe Dagon thing.
Okay. That
it was more, but that was more like, hey, we're doing something here, buddy. Like get the fuck out of here. You know, it's like, we don't have time for your shit, or I don't anyway.
That's fair.
That was more what that was.
So after the whole leaving the casino, completely Group C's idea. They help out Poe by going to a local tavern, the Golden Circle, and dealing with these old school Overwatch guys. Mm. Which I want to give Group C some props here, because I think a lot of groups would probably be tempted to go violent with that.
Yes. 9 times out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
God knows I was. I was like, I want to hit them. Which, like, is funny, because that's very much like a Kaluna thing, where, like, most of the time when I do any sort of, like, role play like, be it in like an RPG, like video game, or like in a different tabletop game, I'm like, diplomacy first. Always go diplomacy. But with Kaluna, it's always like, no, we fight people. We hit them.
Gripsy actually hasn't had too many fights, though, in the new...
Yeah. Like, obviously, with the people that Kaluna has been surrounded with, doesn't really work out in their favor.
Right.
But, like, in Kaluna's mind, it's like, oh, no. There was this thing that a teacher of mine said in high school. Not sure that it's the best advice, but it's what I always thought of with Kaluna is... He would say, like when teenage boys get mad at each other and they just fight each other, then they get the aggression out and like it settles whatever dumb problem they had. And like that's the mindset that Kaluna has, where it's like, if we just fight each other, we'll get all the anger out and it'll be good. Everything's settled.
Right. Sure. And if it were a fist fight, that
yeah Kaluna doesn't have a great history with fist fights though.
Right. Opening it up a bit, if this were group A or B, do you feel like that would have been a little more violent, or do you feel like it would have been as diplomatic, or maybe even more so if there's a more diplomatic solution?
I think group A is kind of divided on who would be diplomatic and who wouldn't be.
Probably.
So yeah. I think it depends who was there and who was doing the talking.
Surprisingly, two different sides of that coin. Probably Donovan and Maddie would be the least confrontational.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, one's pious and one just wants to have a good time. But essentially, they both don't want to cause a fight.
That's actually interesting, though, coming from Maddie's perspective, because Maddie's got a real grudge against slavers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the old school Overwatch guys are against using slaves or trading slaves or any of that.
Yeah. But there's a big like label for her, Nuvol.
Right, that's fair.
That's where it goes.
That's fair. But yeah, that was all dealt with really, really nicely and
amazingly.
I want to give a special shout out to Zach.
Yes.
Zach went out of his way and to the point where it's like, okay, something's going to happen when I dump this pitcher on, you know, Kaluna's head and Avalan jumping and the way it's just taking all of that in the face. And like, he's just being saint-like in terms of not getting violent, not getting, you know, angry. It was a really cool way to handle that.
I was also like really impressed by like the way LRF was like holding back too, because she's always the first one to be like, I'm gonna fight.
That's true.
And she was like so patient.
And it might have been because maybe the group just knew it's like, okay, we'll get this pent-up hostility out of our systems later in the session, probably anyway. Oh, man. Speaking of which, let's jump to a little later in the episode where Group C fights Gar in the arena, which is this quite literally, you know, gold-plated Warforged, who up until then was undefeated in Onakal, though their big fighting history now hasn't, it's not incredibly long. It's not like when the city first fell and all that stuff, but they're kind of rebuilding things as a big tourist destination. How did you feel going into the fight? Was there a big worry? Did you kind of figure everything was going to be fine, or did you figure maybe one or two people might fall?
Oh no, I was really confident going into it. And then during the fight, I was like, oh no, that's right. This is 5e at like low levels.
Yeah.
Then I got worried.
He was doling out some good hits there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few times where he was rolling near max damage, and
It was Avalyn specifically. I think Avalyn almost bought it. Like, it was close. It wasn't crazy, but yeah, it got pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Was there two characters that went unconscious?
I think so. Yeah.
I think it was.
I believe it was our two fighters, which makes sense.
Bouquet in the chat. Oh my god, the fight with Gar. I had just seen a minor spoiler on Discord about people being sad about something and was sweating bullets the whole time.
I thought that too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because I had heard, read, not, well, yeah, I guess spoiler stuff, but just sort of skimmed over it and I was like, who died?
Who died?
So the entire time you're listening, it's like, okay, one of these guys are gonna bite it.
During the fight, yeah, for sure. And it also looked like someone was, it could have happened a couple times. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Traditionally, just for me, I don't like fights like that. I don't like the arena style fights where there's a huge enemy or there's someone who's really, really skilled with a specific weapon or something like that. Because I feel like if you guys are fighting a pack of orcs or you're fighting bandits or something like that, I feel like the damage is incrementally doled out where you kind of get a feel for things that, like, the difficulty ramps up over time. You guys start to run out of spell slots or healing or whatever. With a fight like that, you can absorb a crap ton of damage really quickly and just be down or maybe dead. And that worries me. I don't like the, one, two hits and you're just gone type of fight traditionally. I don't know if any of you guys had any thoughts on that.
Just thinking like how disappointing it would be to go out that way. But I think that's just the nature of how it is now.
Right.
And we kind of have to be prepared for that.
And it's, if you look at it from, ours is a moderate magic world. But if you get stabbed in the heart with a sword or a javelin or something, I think you should take a large amount of damage, like reasonably. Mm-hmm. I think it's tougher for a PC to die right now than it was toward the end of Arc 1.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it might feel the same.
Really? Okay. Do you, so, okay, have there been particular, well, okay, Group B has had some hairy moments since Arc 1, or since Arc 2 started. Is it, do you feel like it's worse now, or it's pretty much the same, like you said?
I mean, like, for me, not to get too personal, no. Most of my characters haven't stuck around for very long, so it's about the same.
Okay.
I have the same amount of investment in Callie as I did my previous characters.
Oh, don't say that.
I know. I don't even think about it anymore. I just gotta live my life. I just gotta do me.
Do
you have a backup, Karen?
I never have a backup character.
Good. No, me neither. Yeah,
okay. Good. I had like 8 backup characters.
Well, interesting. So you don't have a backup character. Is that because you feel like that would jinx your current character, or is it just some people see that as giving up, right? It's like, if you have a backup character, then you're not totally committed to the one you're playing now.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of that. Like, I get very into like what I'm currently doing, so like, mm-hmm. I feel like if I had a backup character, I would be thinking about all the cool things that character... Oh, I keep hitting my... I need to put my printer away. I'm making wide arm gestures.
I do that all the time.
I would just be thinking about all the cool things that I could do with my other character when I should be focused on my current character and all the cool things I have planned for this character, you know?
Right.
I get distracted.
That's fair. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think it would make you feel like your current character is more expendable.
Maybe you'd make more risks or something.
Right.
Wow. Okay, then. I see how you guys think of me now. That's cool.
This was specifically targeted at you, Mac.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm leaving anyway, so get your shots in while you can.
I was going to say, think of it as a really late-stage intervention. Like,
just like, I know you're already leaving, but just let us talk you out of it. And just my two cents, I never had those issues, me personally, because, like, Kalina is, like, Kalina's near and dear to me. And, like, I never ever was, like, I never wanted them to die. I was never, like, you know, Kalina's great, but I would much rather get to this character. It was always, like, I want Kalina to live as long as fucking possible. I do want to play this other character, but, like, this one is good. And I don't want you to die. And while I did think about, like, shit, that my other character... Because I had, like, one backup character that was, like, really fleshed out. And the rest were, like, vague ideas in case that one didn't work out.
Right.
And so, like, that one I would be, like during a session, completely out of my mind. Not thinking about them at all. Afterwards, I would be like, oh, you know, they might have handled it this way. Or this way or this way. But, like, most of the time... I was entirely focused on Kalina.
Yeah, and again, people approach that differently. I like it all depends on what kind of session you run, because I know people sometimes bring backup characters fully fleshed out to a session in case they die, so they can just start rolling with a new one right away. Obviously, our show's not like that, because that would be supremely weird if...
Just, you get decapitated. And look, someone just sprang out of the hole. Where
well, I had a brother. Okay, so the fight wraps up, and the entire time we started laying seeds, we started talking about this plant seed. Joke. So we started talking about Kalina having the sense of dread or a bad feeling about something, and we kind of ramped that up before the fight, and then after we kind of got into it. And that led to... wow, I spelled Kalina wrong. I'm sorry. Kalina...
Good job, Jason.
If it makes you feel any better, I will not make the same mistake twice, because...
Aw,
But if... See, that's a thing that we obviously need to talk about in depth, because we, you know, there was a bunch of stuff that was happening leading up to that, and it was something we... I don't think we had a long-term plan for.
No.
No, we didn't. So do you want to fill people in on what's going on?
Okay. So I don't know how nitty-gritty should I get with this.
Go. However deep you want to dive. Like I this is one of the few departures where it's not.
Yeah, it's where it's not like, well, someone fucked up.
Right.
And, So, God, I guess the end of December, I think it was, maybe?
About the, somewhere was, there. Maybe January.
Yeah, late December, very early January, Jason hit me up and was like, hey, we're trying to get Group C to meld a little better. Do you have any ideas? And I was like, yeah, here's some feedback. And then Jason was like, hey, in case this doesn't work out... In case we cannot make this work, would you be willing to play a different character? And I was like, well, you see, the thing is, which is funny considering I just talked about how I had so many backup characters.
Right.
But I was like, I wanted to leave the show once I was done with Kalina because, like, I don't consciously... think of the show as like a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the moment, I'm like, yeah, I'm playing D&D with my friends. But my brain is like, no, we're doing work. So doing the show for me has had the same effect as like if I had a job or something where it's like, okay, you need to do everything right. If you fuck up, so many people are going to know you fucked up, so do it right. And just, you know, lots of stress. And so I was like, yeah, this is not healthy for me. Just like, yeah. So that was the plan, was I was just going to stick it out until Kalina either retired or died. Even though I was kind of like dying very slowly. I was willing to sacrifice for the cause. But so I told Jason all this, probably condensed, but I told him all this, and he was like, well, that's not fucking healthy. So we talked about getting me off the show, and we tried very hard to come up with a way that would make sense for Kalina to leave.
Right.
And this is what we ended up with. I am kind of sad that the idea that Kelsey and I had a long time ago, it wasn't realistic, but it was like really good. It was that Kalina would go to the swamp where the witch used to live, and Kalina would just be there living as a cryptid, scaring people away. Which, again, it's a really good idea. Not at all realistic, but it's a good thought.
I don't know how much people know about how we do the show or how we, like, record it or whatever, but that's, me and Bree are really adamant about the work side of DNR should fall on us. If it starts feeling like a job to you guys, something's wrong and we need to fix it. It should just feel like when you guys show up, it should just be a game of D&D. That's all it should be. All the, you know, editing and all that stuff should fall on us. All the stress and, you know, and that I've taken great pains to, if we get hate mail, which is pretty rare, but if we get hate mail or something like that, I always sit on that. I never share that with the cast, ever. Because it's only hurtful. Like, it's only,
There is no constructive criticism to be found here.
No, I do that. Like, I'll try to take a nugget of constructive criticism, and it's like, dear fucking moron. And it's like, okay, I'm listening. Like, I'll do that, but I wouldn't subject anyone else to the cast.
Because that's unhealthy.
Yeah, yeah, that's unhealthy, guys.
Yeah, it's unreasonable to do such a thing.
But there is Discord and stuff like that, and I think everybody on the Discord is supremely nice, and the group page and all that stuff. Like, that's been pretty nice, but I understand the stress of realizing tens of thousands of people listen to, like, that can screw with you.
The thing is, none of this was conscious. Like, I only figured this out, like, after we did the last session, and I was like, let me review what I'm going to say whenever I have to talk about the fact that I'm leaving the show. So I, like, deeply psychoanalyzed myself to figure all this shit out. But yet, like, just, I love DNR, and I love being a part of it, and I love the community. But also, the community itself is, like, so exhausting just for me because of the way that my brain works. I've got, in case I haven't said it enough in out-of-character chats, which I probably have, Asperger's is a thing. And so talking to people is hard and exhausting. So, like, I don't know if the fans noticed, but, like, I used to always, always, always show up to streams. But then I was like, God, I cannot do this anymore. I'm so tired. And, like, the Discord, I never joined the Discord because I was like, I'm so tired. I cannot keep up with this. And so, like, it's just, it was a lot of things coalescing into, hey, maybe I should leave. Maybe this is not good for me.
Well, that's another reason we did notice the stream thing, because you and Kelsey used to come to the streams a ton. And then it was like, we start seeing you less and less, and then not at all. We just figured it's like, oh, it's not for them. But there was never anything that said, like, you had to show up to streams. So that was just something that's like, oh.
I just liked going to streams. Right. I liked yelling at you for being bad at games.
Sure.
I liked getting mad whenever you missed obvious things.
Sure.
And laughing at you when you were bad at Dark Souls. It was all a good time.
Oh, Dark Souls is the fucking worst. Don't tell Xavier
it's
I
so
said that.
Good. It's so good, you're alive.
In the chat. I'm saving it.
Have any patience, Jason.
It's a shitty game for me. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's a fine game for anyone else. But yeah, that's the thing. I always want people to come to me with that kind of stuff. There's something I've said 600,000 times since we've started DNR is I can't fix a problem I don't know exists. So the second you told me about it, it was like, okay, well, this is...
Well, here's a simple solution. Mm. Get out of my fucking house. Go.
It was more just like, okay, so you can't fix that. Like, there's nothing I can do to, like, I could lie to you. And it's like, okay, it's not a show anymore, Mac. It's just us. Don't look online.
It's just us. It's just you and me. It's just you and me.
But yeah, obviously, we wish you all the luck and just rest up and have fun doing stuff that isn't necessarily in front of a bunch of people.
You know, that's the irony of it, is... So I went from DNR, which I am leaving because it stressed me out.
This is the part where you tell us you've joined another show. And
exactly. That is exactly what I'm doing. But it's different because I'm in it at the baby stages, right? Like, I think, don't tell any of them that I'm saying this, but I think there's like maybe 50 people that tune in, maybe. But so like it's very small and it helps a lot that it's with my brother and his friends. And I started off doing it, like playing with them as like just friends. Never ever was it associated with like a show. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, hey, we want to turn this into something. And I was like, okay. So it's a completely different mindset for me. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds like super shitty, but like it's a different mindset where DNR, I met everyone as sort of not professionally, but you know, like we are getting together to do this. And while we are friends, we are getting together to do a job. But then with this other group, it's like, yeah, this is my brother and his weird friends. And we've been playing tabletop games for a long time together.
Right.
So, like it's not as stressful because I don't have to learn to get into the groove. I don't have to worry about like, oh, is this joke going to land? Like, I don't have to worry as much. And it also helps that for those shows that I'm doing with them, I made characters who are different from Kaluna, and Peanut decided to start barking. Thanks, Peanut. But, they're different and they're easier for me to play. Like, we're doing a superhero game, which is ironic because everyone else has read a bunch of comic books and I have read none. But I'm playing basically Spider-Man and it's so fun. It's delightful. And
that's
it does.
Awesome.
Yeah, and another thing that makes it easier is DNR is like, we are telling a story. We are getting together, we've got this big magical world, and we're telling a story. But the other show is we're a bunch of idiots who are just dicking around and often just kind of getting in each other's way. So I've spent a lot of time talking about this instead of talking about DNR, and now I feel like an asshole. But it's just, no. I'm trying to explain to the fans why I'm leaving DNR and going to this other thing when it's basically the same thing. And like, just, it feels different is the best way that I can explain.
The easiest way to put it is it just takes less of a toll on you. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we're all going to miss you and it sucks, but it is what it is. So, again, wish you all the luck in it and I hope you have fun.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much the end of the episode. Kaluna kind of rode out on a caravan heading back up north. And that brings us to Arc 2, Episode 26, Knee Deep, which aired February 11th, 2018. This is one of those... Oh, God, sorry.
I just want to say, Mac,
I would have never guessed there was an issue there. I think you played Kaluna very well, very relaxed, and I always enjoyed listening to them.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, good luck with the other stuff. I totally understand. I mean, I was terrified when I first started this show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, it's gotten better for me. Yeah, totally get it. But honestly, I never would have guessed.
Yeah, it's for me too. Like, I've got, like, obviously at a certain point, like, at a certain point, this started, like, taking a toll on my mental health. But for a while, it, like, helped a lot. Like, it helped with my anxiety. Mm-hmm. It helped me get more confident in myself. Like, you know, like, it helped a lot. But, like, you can only go so far. We hit the plateau and then started going down very quickly.
Okay.
And it also, it helps that I have a lot of experience pretending.
Mm-hmm.
That was really vague, but I'm trying not to get depressing.
I get it.
So, here's the thing. I have to be careful because we have another Group B, which is in the kit. That's going to be the first. That's going to open us up for March, right? So I got to be careful because there are things I'm dying to talk about that happened in that episode. But for now,
I know what you're talking about.
So, mm-hmm. Group B, trapped in Donhurst. They're still in the middle of the shittiest day of their lives. No pun intended. And they're looking for a way to escape. The Fangs there. It's a whole mess. So we open things up with I believe it was you who came up with a clever thing, just kind of like, I'm gonna turn into a fox and kind of scout around.
Yeah, I think it was like kind of a group thing. I don't want to take full like credit for it, but we were talking about it and then I was like, well, I'm just gonna fucking do it. Bye.
Which almost kind of turned ugly. Dogs started they have bloodhounds in the city. They're kind of scouring everything. They're looking. Why is it bullshit?
Cause I just want to go around and do my fox thing and you gotta have dogs.
I think it was human waste, not bullshit.
And when we get to theory and feedback, there's people asking specific questions about Ripley, but were you banking on seeing him again, or at least seeing him again so soon?
Honestly, no, because we had gotten there so quick. I was like, there's no way he was going to get out of the situation he was in and then like catch up to us so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had gotten to Donhurst in, like, what, 2-3 days?
Yep.
I'm like, there's no way that he'd be able to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure it would be, like, another day or two. If that was going to happen at all.
See, that's the thing. That depends on how soon he left he left in pursuit. How quickly could he get away?
Did he leave before us? Did he leave immediately? And he would like left before us, and then like he was with the. Oh my god!
You should have went back and talked to him. We could have sorted all this out.
He was with the Fang when we rode by them, wasn't he?
I can't tell.
I hate you.
Why?
Because you always say that. I can't tell you that.
Well, I can't tell you that because your characters wouldn't know, and that's cheating. We can't cheat. But you end up scouting a route out of the city, or at least a route away from where the Fang currently were, and that was through the sewer. I really wanted to paint an unpleasant picture of what the sewer expedition was like. And I don't know if I did an appropriately good job, but I wanted it to be not a free ride where it's just like, oh, there's a sewer and we escape. I wanted to make, like, I always am fascinated with things like, okay, so Are you going to run for help after that? Are you going to interact with people? Because you smell like feces, like you smell terrible. So I want that to persist. And like, if you haven't bathed in a week or you haven't, like, people are going to notice, like, that if you get close to others, then they're going to pick up on that type of thing. I love that affecting roles. I love that affecting role play. But you guys pretty much bathed immediately after.
Yeah, I like to think that, like, I clean myself off before I turn back from a fox, just so my clothes didn't get poopy.
Yeah, that's...
Because they were in a bag the whole time.
Which makes total sense. You did get into a fight with some drakes.
Yeah, a pack of drakes.
A pack of drakes. And I feel like... I think Ian is still listening. He was in the chat earlier. It's something we're definitely going to have to play with, but Ian loves to do this. He loves to push the boundaries of the wording of a spell to the point, mm-hmm. like the magic dome around one of the drakes. It's like, that's not necessarily how I would interpret that spell right off the bat, but it's like, okay, the wording, I guess that makes sense. So I never want any spell to be just a get out of jail free card or something like that. But it did make sense in that situation.
Mm.
And you guys got a drake pet.
I thought it was very clever.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I want people to think outside the box, and I want people to, put forth as I'm going to do this. It's like, oh, could I do this? Cause that makes, if there's any doubt to it. So that is, I feel like Ian is constantly like poking and prodding and seeing where the limits are. And that's usually a pretty cool way to do things.
I'm just waiting for like one time you'd be like, no.
I've given him a no before. I'm positive I've given Ian a no.
I was actually thinking about this earlier today, why I love D&D so much. Because, like, in other RPGs or video games or, you know, just basically any other game, it's like, I cast Ray of Frost. And all it is like, a Ray of Frost, and that's it. That's all you can do. Like, right. You're attacking to deal damage. And then you kill it, then you loot it, and you move on. Whereas D&D, you're like, well, I'm casting this so I can hit this thing, which causes this effect. And then I want to do a flip, which then my character... But if you're in, like, a turn-based RPG or something like that, it's just, you do damage, then you're done. Or you heal and you're done. So that's, I love D&D because of that. Because you can think outside the box and jerry-rig spells to do other things. And I love that.
And it is. I don't like inconsistencies, but I do like, oh, in this circumstance, can I do this because of this? And like, it's like, yeah, that makes sense to me. I love doing stuff like that.
Yeah, so
because
good.
It helps create a new moment, like it helps kind of chisel something out that's new.
Good job, Ian. He's driving, so he can't type.
Yeah, he's driving. Oh. But yeah, good job, Ian. So you guys got a drake pet, which we're going to get to later in the next extended rest. That'll be fun. But let's talk. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about Calden and Callie.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment that I think a lot of people were waiting for finally happened. And honestly, I was expecting a bigger blow up.
I was expecting a bigger blow up.
Really?
I wanted to be so angry and like so like done with Calden, but then he was so logical and like everything he said was making sense. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess this is a thing. I don't know.
So for those of you who haven't listened to the episode yet, I don't know why you're listening to this, but that's okay. Callie witnesses Calden. Calden, that they go hunting and they shoot a buck. And essentially the buck is dying, but Calden asks Callie, it's like, oh, hold on a second. I want to do a thing. And slowly freezes the buck's skull. Like... excruciatingly slowly, like it's like slowly strangling someone. That's basically how I described it, which would probably be mortifying for someone like
Callie. Yeah, I like to think that she was just like so stunned, like too stunned to react in the moment, like when it happened. Otherwise I feel like she probably would have stopped it.
Right,
she had no idea what was going on.
And that's I want to get the chat, hi chat, I want to get your opinion if you were in a party with Kaladin and that happened, how what would your reaction be? Given the same explanation, like Kaladin going through, it's like, oh, I'm doing it for these reasons, and these are why, this is why, and would you take that as, oh, okay, that's just, it's a pretty logical argument, or would it just still be so mortifying that you would you'd be upset? Because I guess it's been built up over months, and that's why I figured it would it would be a bigger deal.
I mean, like, the thing for Callie is that, like, so when you did the mouse and the frog, those were like innocent little animals who weren't doing anything, who weren't going to like benefit the party or anything like that. And like, then on the elk, it's a little different because we're going to kill it anyways, and it's going to be food. So
it's more of a food chain thing.
Yeah, I would consider it that.
Yeah, I was thinking about it too. Like, I think you reacted it perfectly because, like you said, you were going to kill this thing. And it's not like he went up to the elk while it was still alive and did this. Like, it was in the process of dying. So. Mm-hmm. And you don't know about the other creatures.
Yeah. Well, he did tell Callie, like, she was like, wait, you've been practicing?
Well, what else is he going to practice on, though, right? I think it's a good move that he's working up to here to be able to just, you know, hold his hand up and free someone from the inside out. Could be useful, could turn him into a major villain, but, you know, he's not doing it on small children or anything like that, right? He's got a...
That's true.
There has to be some sacrifices for him to get to this point where he's got this huge trick in his bag, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm looking at the chat. Irish Katana, Hainway, Bouquet, Mac, Vonna Lovegood. Everyone's basically like, yeah, it's torture. It's like it's basically or creepy or something like that. So, I mean, it's something that warrants looking into, right? If it's a thing where you guys are, let's say the thing with Trent went differently, and let's say this is like 6 months down the line, would Kaladin have threatened to freeze Trent's innards to get information out of him, or something like that? Like, it's something that warrants discussion, I guess. But the rest of the party doesn't know about it yet. It's just a little secret between Callie and Kaladin. So,
just a little secret. No big deal. Yeah, I think
a little one.
I mean, one of the things that I was thinking about, like, while we were playing, was like, if Callie flat out says no, and he's already been practicing without anybody knowing, like, if she says no, don't do this anymore, like, is he just going to keep doing it without her knowing?
I don't know.
Probably.
So, you know, her knowing about it and her being involved in her brain is like also a little bit better than just him going around
right
freezing things.
Right. And again, Ian isn't here to speak for Kaladin, so we're just guessing. And Ian, if you're listening to this, hi, love you, buddy. This is just speculation, purely. It is, okay, you have established that there is a difference between, like, freezing a buck that you were already going to kill. Like, it was in the food chain, you guys were going to kill it no matter what, so it's a little, it could have been quicker, but whatever. And, like, him freezing a puppy.
No, thank you.
I'm sorry, I was just, there's a big difference. He hasn't frozen any puppies, if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
It does not make me feel any better whatsoever. Thank you.
But that was the end of Arc 2, Episode 26. The next group B is pretty cool. You guys know.
So many things.
I'm really excited, man. And I got a group A tomorrow. So speaking of group A. Let's get Susan and James involved here. Arc 2, Episode 27, Showtime, aired on February 18th, 2018. Group A prepares to put on a play for the people of Winterhaven. Will it be a show for the ages or a magnificent flop? Before we get into this, I want to say I had so much damn fun with this episode just because it was... it was something I've never attempted before. You guys took to it really well. You were game for whatever was going to happen. It wasn't one of those situations where you have... It wasn't a win or lose situation. It was like, hey, whatever happens, this will be fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I wasn't sure how you were going to go about this thing. And I was kind of like, am I going to have to come up with...
I would never do that to
you. If you give me like a vague idea of, you know, what's supposed to happen, and it's like, oh, God, okay.
No, I would never put you on the spot like that. Because that's... I didn't even think about that as an option until you kind of mentioned it in the episode. It's like, oh, God, no, I would never do that to you.
That's funny, because that's the first place I went. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I think I had it in the chat, but I was... Oh my god, I thought it would be amazing if Rob had to play Ubo as Malchus. I just want to see that.
Oh man. So, first of all, it's awesome that we have Susan and James here, because after the fight that ended the previous Group A episode, there was kind of a tense conversation between Maddie and Masoka. And we were actually going... to glaze over that. And James, I'm really glad you kind of, because we were just going to like, oh, we'll just simulate some stuff and we'll go. And I believe it was you who said, well, actually, I would probably approach Maddie if she's being silent. And I'm really glad you did, because I liked this conversation.
I wasn't expecting it either.
Well, right, because you're like, you know, she'd be avoiding him like the plague. It's like, well, he'd walk up to her. So, just... I keep thinking I'm making Susan very uncomfortable, so I hope I'm not.
No, you're not. No.
Okay.
It's cool. Yeah, so I wasn't expecting a Susan, so it was pretty, you got some pretty raw, because I was not expecting that conversation to come up for a long time, because you and I had actually talked about it when it first, when you decided Masoka was going to start liking Maddie, and it was supposed to be a joke, and then I was just like, okay, she'll play ignorant.
Yeah, yeah, and that was going to be like the shtick, right? But for like, well, you know, I can only play. No, it's fun playing dumb Ahsoka for sure, and like, you know, blunt and however he is, but it is changing to this thing where like he's starting to realize, and especially after playing Malchus Grimness.
Ooh.
there's more to life than what he's been used to. You know, the very small pocket of Theria that he grew up in, that made him what he is, and he's not necessarily satisfied with that.
I don't want to push for anything. I'm interested to see how, when I say the word relationship, I don't mean like a romantic relationship, but their relationship in the group. I'm interested to see how Maddie and Masoka's relationship evolves over the next several months. Because while they have a similar background, obviously there's a huge fork in the road where they both had different upbringings. And...
But... So similar at the same time. It's so
right.
Weird.
It's very strange. And I'm interested to see where this goes, because I think that they have very cute interactions with each other, but it doesn't necessarily mean romantic. It's just like, oh, I really like that Masoka's genuinely trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not... I didn't even come at it from like a macho perspective where it's like, I beat up that dude. Did that impress you? I mean, there was a little bit of that, but it's just so much of who Masoka is that he couldn't not do what he did.
So I did the nerdiest thing earlier today or yesterday. I actually rolled for if Maddie would be attracted to Masoka.
Really?
Because I am not Maddie, so I can make conjectures and, you know, a third person point of views. But, you know, there's something about person to person where that chemistry clicks. So I actually rolled if she was attracted to him. And you guys will find out.
Oh, I love it.
I'm so into this.
I love the tease.
You already know he has a above average butt.
Did that affect the role?
Was actually factors. This is how nerdy it got. So I looked up like the common factors for attractiveness, and I even was like, okay, well, most girls are attracted to a smile or hair or body or and then like wow. personality stuff, and it averaged out. And I took the average.
Have I told you recently that I love you, Susan? Like, have I?
Can you share that formula with me? Because I would love to use that so much on so many characters you don't understand.
I have a result, and we'll see. Well, we're recording tomorrow, but actually, yeah. I probably need to get with you, James. Like behind the scenes.
Again, we've talked about it a little bit. If you're not on our Patreon, patreon.com/TANDR, you can hear little things like character chats. And one of the things I know you and I have talked about before, Susan, is you were the one character in DNR when we were doing the new arc. You did roles for tons of background stuff. It was complete, like you just left a lot of stuff up to fate and then just worked with what you were handed.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that you left this up to fate, too. It makes a lot of sense.
Nearly everything in Maddie's backstory is a role.
Oh.
God, I love that. That's pretty awesome.
That is how I used to play Pathfinder. So, high five, dude.
I love working around it.
It's so good.
So after that tease, moving on, you guys get to, talking to Leroy, and he had adjusted his script because I didn't present this out right, but obviously he was probably catering to a lot of old ways of thinking in terms of, Malkus and probably orcs in general and all that stuff. So it probably wouldn't have been as open-minded or as nice a reflection as it ended up being. But there wasn't too much of a dispute over what he presented to you guys. It didn't sound like you guys had much. I mean, Donovan had some notes.
He has notes about everything.
But yeah, it didn't sound like you guys had too many objections to it.
Maddie's reaction was Susan's reaction. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and I mean, we're just putting a lot of faith in Leroy. Like, this is not something they'd ever done before. They just had to trust it was going to go well. And thankfully for the dice rolls, it did.
Right.
Because that could have gone. I'd like to see the alternate version where we rolled, crit ones and
terribly, and really low, right?
So, yeah, yeah.
I started getting worried, honestly, when Donovan was doing all the, he was going out in the town and trying to, get buzz going for the show, and he was rolling so well. It's like, oh man, this is going to be a packed house. Like, this is, they're going to fill these seats. So whatever happens here. Like, okay, you guys could have rolled as well as you did and, tore the house down, but there only be, a quarter of the seats full or something like that. So the reach wouldn't be as large. This was amazing. So we get to run with this now. We live in the reality where you guys destroyed it. You tore it all down. And this benefits the orcs as a whole. It benefits Malkus. It benefits you guys. It benefits Leroy, which is something we touched on at the end of this episode, and I kind of want to get into it a little bit, because I feel good about that. Like, he's kind of a sadder character, and this, like, he might get a second chance because of you guys. Speaking of which, let's get into the play. Let's get into the actual show.
The best thing ever.
We took a break. Just before we got to the play itself, what was running through your guys' head before that? Like, before we picked it up and we started actually rolling dice for performances and makeup and all that stuff, Were there any nerves? Were you were you worried about the outcome either way? Because I know a lot of people were very, not middle of the road, but they were like, oh, this is going to be fantastic no matter what happens. If it's a train wreck, awesome. If it's not, awesome.
I'm raising my hand. That was me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I was on that side too. I mean, either way, it was going to be spectacular, whether it was a failure or a success.
Right.
You know, I don't think there was any medium there. And I still didn't know at that part either really how it was going to go. So that, you know, there's kind of like that nervous anticipation.
Right.
Which was just kind of fun. So.
Before we actually tackle the show, there's a dispute in the chat right now. Susan, how do you spell poopies?
Nope.
There's a website.
There's a website.
Oh my God.
How do you spell it?
Susan's got a bookmark. P-O-O-P-E-E-S.
Thank you.
I'm so mad about this poopies bullshit because Kelsey was messaging me while you guys were doing that session. Nothing like in depth or anything, but just like, oh my God, this is going amazing. And then just sent in the group chat with Kelsey Mids and I, just no explanation whatsoever, a link to poopies.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what the fuck is this?
little poop and pee characters. Very cute. Yeah.
I don't usually leave in anything from like the behind the scenes stuff, but I threw it into going around the table just because it was such a huge part of our day. If you go again, patreon.com/DANDR, there's behind the scenes stuff. And Brie edited that episode, put everything together. There's over an hour of stuff before the session.
Of poopies.
A lot of it is just, it's just poopies and teasing Susan, and like each new person that gets added to the call, the conversation starts up all over again, and it's the stupidest thing.
Okay.
God, those are the best though.
And you could hear me getting steadily more angry about it. It starts off denial, like, really? This exists? And then like, oh my God, this really exists. And then, I can't believe this exists.
I'm fucking offended that someone made this and is making money off of it.
Oh, more money than any of us will ever see.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I've got some really good ideas. Life. Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude! I will die in a pauper's grave, and the maker of poopies,
yeah,
they'll be fine. They'll...
Yeah. Oh my God!
Just be a poop emoji on your headstone.
This death brought to you by poopies. Okay, let's get into this show. Let's get into the performance. Holy shit. I have seen so many nice things about this episode, specifically the shows. Obviously, you guys, you all had hot hands. All of you. Everyone rolled amazingly. To the point that if the reactions weren't so genuine, someone could accuse, like, one of you of fraud or me. It's like, it's so, like, so consistently, like, 17, 18, 18, 17, like... So consistently throughout the entire thing, every time you needed a big role, you nailed it.
Oh, so perfect.
go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, I just loved it. It was so good. Like, the one that I really wanted to be perfect was him playing Malchus, and it worked out perfectly. So good.
And Rob's high stakes, like, you know... 18 or more, and Malchus is in the audience.
Oh, yep. That was perfect, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The crit you wrote, that's your, I think, your second big crit of this arc, but it's one of those things that caught everybody off guard. You, like, canonically nailed the performance of Malchus Grimness, and... I love the stuff Rob was interjecting. It was all just really fucking great. It was a low stakes thing. Like, it wasn't combat. It wasn't anything that was going to change the face of the world. It was that's the kind of stuff I wanted to do with this arc, is get more of this character type stuff going on. So now we can go forward and you've changed, you know, you've changed things and affected people's lives, but it's not so dire. It's not so, you know, maudlin or anything. And it's really fucking cool. Is there anything you guys wanted to say about the play before we move on?
I have not listened to it, but I trust that it's amazing. And I'm going to say right now that I loved it. Wonderful. 10 out of 10.
You did. You really did. I'm telling you.
You said Kelsey was messaging you during the thing?
Yeah, I don't remember any of what they said, but I just trust that it was so good that I can go ahead and give it a rating right now. Kind of like I did before going to see Spider-Man. I was like, this is my favorite movie I've ever seen. And then boom, I was right. So.
Oh man. That pretty much wrapped up episode 27. We stopped right after that. So I guess tomorrow we're going to find out how things go and what happens afterward. Let's do some Therian feedback and close things out. We asked you guys on our Discord server what you thought, and you guys sent in a bunch of questions. Opening it up, though, a bunch of people wished Mac well, just like they did in the stream tonight. Like I said, we got a couple of emails about it. There were too many to list, but I just wanted to take a second and thank everybody for saying such nice stuff, and yeah.
Thanks for speaking on my behalf, Jason.
Don't mention it.
God. But no, seriously, it's like, thanks, everybody. You're all sweet. You're all sweethearts. And I'm honestly, the reason that I'm most sad about leaving is the fans. Because, like, y'all have sent me, like, really sweet messages. Like, they're like, hey, Kelowna existing, like, did this for me. And I'm like, oh. So, yeah.
Well, that's really nice. We did get some questions. Irish Kitana, Group A, are you excited about the resolution of the play? Would you preferred a travesty or even a mediocre performance? Also, what was your guess on what the play was going to be? Did it actually surprise you? We kind of tackled this a little bit.
I loved how the play went. I don't think it could have gone better for us, really. A couple of low roles, but they worked for what was going on. And I had no idea what the play was going to be about. Honestly, I figured no clue. Just tons of things like running through my mind, but the fact that it was what it was, I think was perfect. You know, for a Winterhaven crowd, I think that's the best play you could have put on.
Do you see any future for Group A doing something like this again? Maybe going out on the road?
not for Ubo.
Yeah, he was pretty clear. Like, and it's probably best. It's like, you know, go out on top, I think he's what he said. And it's... what are the odds of it going that well a second time?
Yeah, no.
This is like
unless
one
we
of those...
become proficient in acting.
Just train your performance. Dump all your stats into performance. That's all you have to do.
We'll give up all our other skills at fighting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No. This was like that Final Fantasy side quest that's like totally weird for the game, but you know it's fun anyway, but then it never comes back to it. So.
Right.
Yeah. And there was a 20-hour cutscene. It was good.
Yeah.
Again, big shout out to Bree. She had a bunch of different sound effects and stuff during the play itself, and yeah, took great pains to make that sound as good as it did. So thank you, Bree. Wiki Steve, or Steve the Wiki Guy, however you want to say. Group B, while not a murderous bunch, except Calden, of course, was there any discussion about doing something worse to Trent?
Worse? Probably not. I know we were talking about it, like, on the group page a little bit, about, like, oh, maybe hostage situation if we needed to, but nothing, like, devious.
But how valuable is Trent really to that group?
Well, you mean, like, to Callie, or, like, to...
No, to...
to the Fang!
The Fang, yeah. He's probably disposable.
I mean, Jason, like, made it sound like he was one of the leaders, but also he's not that smart, so I can't imagine, like, him going missing is that big of a deal. Wow. But that's just me.
Wow.
I think it was a better decision to just get out of there than to take him hostage. Don't think that would have benefited you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, also, it's another mouth to feed. You got to keep him quiet. What are you going to do? Negotiate for? It's a hassle.
Maybe he joins the group.
Like, who knows? When we get to the gates, like, how do we actually explain what we're doing?
Right.
Just be stealthy and just go.
I got to ask a question, actually, while we're discussing Trent.
Yeah.
So we had a bunch of fun in the session and stuff like that, because the running gag is, oh, Callie and Trent are going to end up hooking up, something like that. Is that something that just sends a chill down your spine, or is it is it just like, haha, guys, fuck you?
It's a little of both.
Okay.
Like, when the episode before, when Valerie was, like, really egging it on, I was like, fuck you, I hate you. Like, I really wanted to fly to Florida and go to Valerie's house and just, I don't know, but.
She's tiny, too, so it wouldn't take much.
Exactly. I'm, like, twice her height. But, like, I think, like, the biggest thing is that I was there on the ground floor of the creation of Trent. So I have, like, all these preconceived notions. So right. Just the idea about that is just, like,
Well, okay, I will say this, and I'm not saying anything in favor of it, but Trent is a deeper character than a joke.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He's really deep. That's the perfect reaction to that statement.
Excuse me.
I wouldn't add a character to the world or something that was just a joke. Like, there could be heavily leaning on a joke, but not just a joke.
Oh, he's probably a really sad backstory.
I may never know, honestly, but, like, it's, you know.
But that's why he smokes on that black grass. Or what is it? Is that what it's called? Black grass?
Yeah.
Nailed it. So St. Euler has a couple of questions. Group B, did Tatiana consider the possibility of Ripley following her? Obviously, Jamie's not here, so we can't answer that one, but I do want to ask the group something about Ripley. It seems like it was a gut reaction, but seems pretty obvious in retrospect he was going to follow them to Donhurst. If Tatiana were to confess she helped him escape, how would the group react? Do you feel like Callie has worked that out?
That Tatiana helped him escape?
Yeah.
I don't think she's thought that far into it yet.
Okay.
Like, it all happened so fast. Like, Ripley was there, and then there were dogs, and then she had to run, and, like, and they had to get out, and, like, all she thought about was, like, getting out of the city. That's all she's ever really thinking about, is just, like, getting out of the situation they're in.
Right.
Everyone wants to kind of hang out, explore caves. She's like, can we just go?
And that's happened a few times where you guys are in pretty crappy situations, and it's just...
And Calvin's just like, I want to see what's going on with that house down there. I'm like, but could we not?
Calvin's got a natural curiosity.
It's like a cat.
This one's to me. Were there roles to decide what Ripley would do? Yes, there were. What were the possibilities, if you don't mind us peeking behind the DM screen? So, obviously, the big two were to disengage from everything, or to continue to try to get this mission done, or at least meet up with his crew. And obviously the odds were going to be that he was going to try and meet up with his crew. There's no reason for him to try and ditch everything. He was probably going to double down. Now, what he's doing in Dawnhurst is actually interesting. And I'm hoping, I'm kind of hoping we get to explore that at some point. I'm sure we will, be it, you know, word gets back to the group or, you know, events transpire. But I'm anxious to see that, because what's happening now in Dawnhurst is obviously a game changer. And yeah, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that happens. A little more from St. Euler. Group A, how much did you pay Jason to let you roll D20s plus 10 instead of regular D20s? Please speculate.
Oh, shit. I still have to pay you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like $300.
Oh, man. Yeah. Your PayPal's still open? Let me see.
You guys, you only had to pay $300 to get good rolls? Because of each. Yeah, but like, that's less than I ever had to pay.
Well, I like them better.
That makes sense. That tracks.
And he wanted a good result for the play, too. So
that makes sense. This all adds up.
You know there's going to be one person out there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I knew it. Like, there's one conspiracy theorist.
Why do you think Kaluna survived this long? It sure as hell wasn't luck.
His Mac is loaded. Like, yeah. He has so much money.
I have so much money. You would not believe.
Please speculate on what the reaction from both Grimnesses would be. Now, here's something interesting. We are working, me and Bree. If time didn't run out on us this month, there would have been a post-credit stinger for this episode, for episode 27 of Arc 2. Time sort of ran out on us. We had to do an out-of-town thing, so we're pushing it back to the next Group A session. But there will be an after-credit stinger with Jadzia and Valis and them talking and all that stuff. And we've had a bunch of people asking what Malkus thinks of it and what Valis thinks of it. I'm interested in what Aerilove might think of it, because people forget there's a third Grimness child sometimes.
You mean the best Grimness child?
What? Yeah, you guys have to pander because I'm here, but it's cool.
But I'll take it. Unless it's to the amazing, wonderful fans. Yeah.
How do you think Aerilove would react if she had seen the play?
Well, okay, so 2 years have passed, and obviously, I think, I'm not giving too much away here, the whole family pretty much made up.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, like, if they're not, like, the best of buds, but they all get along now, without killing each other. But I think Aerilove still has a little bit of cynicalness about Malkus, so she probably would have laughed. She would have found it highly enjoyable, and she would have been moved by the acting, but she probably would have been laughing too.
So, like, that is good, and we haven't really explored what's going on with the Grimnesses and all that stuff, but there are kids involved now, and like that, we kind of tied some of that up at the end of Arc 1, or at least set it in motion so that it's not as antagonistic or I'm looking for the right word, because it wasn't vengeful, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you expecting any financial gain from the performance? Guys were promised part of the ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Done, and we'll make sure we get those.
Yep.
Because there was like thousands and thousands of people there, right?
There were tons. let's see. It seems like Amvin, at least, is looking forward to the next job, and Donovan to the next party. What kind of work opportunities do you hope for? Yeah, fucking speculate wildly. What do you think is going to be presented to you? Because I talked to Kelsey not that long ago. We were doing character stuff, and I essentially told them that there's going to be a platter laid out for you guys, because you are now problem solvers in Winterhaven.
Hmm. Man, too many choices.
I mean, I'd like to
get back to the adventuring side of thing. I don't know. Like, if someone's sending us on a fetch quest, or you know, there's something we just want to check out, that's fine. Like, I'm good with anything, really.
Yeah. Maddie too. Like, she's on her pilgrimage, so she wants to keep moving. So.
And I mean, Masoka's there because Donovan's there, and they're both out of Brightport. I guess for different reasons, but you know, Masoka just wants to stay away from there. So. He's just happy to be with the group, really.
Okay.
Exciting answers.
It's that simple. Yeah.
Right, yeah. and there's some examples. Retrieve an artifact from a tomb up north. Negotiate peace with the Overwatch. It is worth mentioning that Overwatch is now Overdale again. And they're not warring with anybody. They're at peace. Overdale's actually bending over backwards to try and mend fences, and they got a long road to, you know, to go. But yeah, they're trying to make things better or find some bloodroot in the mountains.
I don't think we'll do that last one.
Probably not.
Wild black grass would be fine.
Just spark some up in the middle of town.
Yeah. I personally don't want to do any like negotiations.
Yeah.
I just want a good old fashioned go kill some kobolds.
Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of stuff for you guys. A plethora.
That's me. Maddie wants to do. She wants to make everything better. She's boring.
And that wraps us up for extended rest for the month of February. Obviously, thank you all for being on the panel tonight, and thank every one of you out there for listening and supporting us and coming out to hang out with us in the chat. Is there anything you guys would like to say to kind of wrap us up?
I'm gonna miss you, Mac.
Oh, thank you. I was sitting here like, I should probably say some sort of heartfelt thing.
Speech.
I mean, I already kind of gave my speech. I blew my load early. I didn't think this through. It was a fun time. Thank you for having me. Follow your dreams. Stay in school. don't do drugs unless prescribed by a doctor. I'm running out of things. Someone cut off my joke, please.
Now I'm just gonna let this twist in the wind for a while.
If you ever want to share a story with me, because I won't be looking at DNR stuff for a while, probably just because I'm still tired. You can message me on Twitter, and I might not respond to it because I'm bad at responding to things with genuine emotion in them, but I will read them. So yeah.
I'm worried about cutting you off again.
No. Let me keep talking forever.
Now's a bad time to mention we haven't been live in like 5 minutes, but that's...
You know, that's actually good. That's good.
Again, thank you guys oh so much. Again, we are brought to you by Patreon, patreon.com/DANDR. Just had a terrific character chat with Kelsey. People really seem to enjoy that. We're going to be posting Safe Haven this within the next few days, probably Tuesday, something like that. We did a great Living in Theria this month, all about demons, and you guys asked over 100 questions, so we just sat and rattled off answers for demons for over two and a half hours, something like that. So thank you guys for sending them all to us. We're going to let you guys go. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will see you next month for another extended rest. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We really hope you guys enjoyed today's extended rest. Obviously, we meet up once a month on Twitch to talk about everything that we've produced in that month. Next month's going to be a pretty big one because we're getting ready for Theriathon in April. So March is going to be pretty much us battening down the hatches. Obviously, at the end of this, we already talked about Patreon.com and how that helps us out and keeps the lights on. We're actually almost to a brand new milestone, something we've never reached before. So if you go to Patreon.com/DANDR, toss in a buck. It really helps us out, and you get a bunch of extra free content to boot. The higher we climb, the more we can do. We're working towards things like art, and we want to do complete landscapes for cities and towns. We're working on a new map. There's all kinds of stuff, but obviously it takes money to do that. So we really appreciate you guys supporting us and listening, your reviews on iTunes, everything. Thank you guys, and we'll see you next week with a brand new episode.